Okay, so this is the July 5th Elections Committee meeting, and we have the quorum. So, Susan, could you call the roll, please?
Sure, absolutely. And I see that Eleanor Elizabeth has joined us. Teresa Allen. Teresa!
I see her name.
Okay, we'll come back to her. Violetta Diamond. Jack DePalma.
I'm present.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
I'm here.
Great. Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman.
Present.
Okay. Teresa, you just got back.
Present.
Okay. Eric Jacobson.
Here.
Avalia Jones.
Present.
Louie Kimura. No. Don Kelly McPherson. Matt.
In fact, I am.
Woohoo! Myla Reason.
I am here.
Sean Rhodes, the real Sean.
I am here.
Okay. Minerva. Minerva Sanders.
Who's the fake Sean?
Matt.
Well, I guess I am.
You're the non-Sean. Okay, Minerva. Not on. Aki.
I'm here.
Carol Wolfley. Don't see her. Susan Young, me, here. Great. We also have at least
Minerva. Oh, sorry, Susan. Minerva is just about to enter our Zoom and she'll be connecting to audio and then she'll be able
and
to.
And she can confirm her attendance.
Yes, she is. Well, maybe I can drop off then if Minerva's here and, Vanessa. You don't need another from,
Donna.
Donna, it's up to you.
Yeah.
Well, Donna, there are actually three of us. There are two SBs and one PNB. So Violetta's the missing person.
Right.
You guys are very active. So you're very well covered.
So good.
So let me know when Minerva comes on. So Donna, are you going off?
Minerva's here. She's just connecting to audio and I just got a, email from Carol Wolfley. So let me see what's going on with her. Oh, she's in the wrong Zoom. Okay. Would somebody send Carol Wolfley the correct Zoom link? Is that possible or?
Aki, can you do that?
Yeah, let me see.
Oh, wait, never mind. She's here. She's
okay. Here. All right. Very good. Okay, so we have a call.
So let me just confirm people need to say their name. Is Minerva on?
She just connected to audio.
Yeah, I just connected.
Great, thank you. So Minerva's on, right. And then Carol Wolfley.
Yeah, I'm here. I just got okay. in.
Great, and then Beth Von Gunten is the director who's joined us so far.
I'm present.
Great.
Okay, so,
Mr. Chair, you've got more than quorum.
Okay.
Oh, Beth is not a director. I mean,
Beth is a director.
She's a director, but she's not a member of this.
No, she's not a member of the committee. She's a director.
Yeah,
that's fine. All right. So before we get going on the meeting today, I just want to make a cautionary note that since we're in the election period, that if anybody who's a candidate that's on the call, just refrain from making sure they don't say anything about your candidacy or anything related to running in the election, because then we get into the issues of fair, you know, airtime issues. So just a caution.
So, Aki, point mm-hmm. of
sure.
information. What do you mean by that? Can we express concerns about the process?
Oh, yeah, sure. Just that you can't okay. talk about your own candidacy.
Oh, about you? Myself. I got you. Okay.
Right. Okay. All right. So I think everybody has the agenda, I hope.
Shall I read do you need me to read the agenda or does everybody have it in hand?
If you could read it. Yeah, I'm sorry, Aki.
Sorry. Go ahead. Sure. You can summarize it.
Convene. 10 minutes. Timekeepers, Carol for people, Aki for items. Roll call, 5 minutes. We finished that. Agenda approval, that's what I'm reading now. Minutes approval. Review of elections process, 60 minutes given to that. Changes in schedule, July 6th, 8th, and 45-day requirement. Success, obstacles for candidate sign-up. Success, obstacles for nominator sign-up. Confirming lists by carts, website, station emails, identify and response to attacks on staff, employees, and board members, simplified disclaimer, candidates making statements in LSB, PNB, and committee meetings, asking $5 donation for those getting paper ballots, Q&A participation, the next one is July 15th, working group support, next meeting, adjourn.
Okay, thanks.
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Who seconded?
Carol.
Okay.
Could it be put in the chat?
I can forward it by email, but I can't put it in the chat.
It would
I send it to you by email.
Yeah, it would be. Well, I'll try putting it in the chat.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
And so, Mr. Chair, are there any objections to the agenda?
Is there any objection? Okay, hearing none. Okay, agenda is approved. Next on the item is the minutes approval.
I move to approve the minutes. It's Carol Wolfley.
Great.
Yeah, basically it was, you know, Renee giving us the update last week, so. Okay, if there's no objection, the minute is approved. So we can go on to the main item, which is number 5. So there's number 1 item is change in schedule. Could somebody explain what that is about?
So there are 2 pieces of this, and Myla, would you mind explaining the July 6th, July 8th situation? You've had the most conversations with Renee.
I would be happy to explain it. Initially, on the website, candidates were informed that they had until July 8th to submit their completed candidate packet, which included signing the fair campaign provisions, getting their candidate statements in, getting their profiles in, getting their essential package together. That was due on the 8th. And when Renee extended the time, the date that candidates could, that people could asked to become a candidate or asked to become a nominator from the 30th of June until the 6th of July, she also changed the date by which people could, had to have their packets completed to the, I'm sorry if you're having a hard time following this, but there were 2 separate things. One was the drop dead date to sign up to be a candidate or a nominator. And that was the 30th, and that got extended until the 6th of July. The other date was the date to have your complete packet with your nominators and all of those other components in by. That had been the 8th, and Renee actually shortened that and made it the 6th instead of the 8th. If anybody couldn't follow that, that's my fault.
Okay, so Maida, what do you want the committee to do to request NES to clarify that whether it should be?
No, actually I don't, because Renee had an email exchange with Jan Goodman.
Okay.
And in that email exchange, she said in writing that if candidates didn't have their packet complete until the 8th, she would accept packets up until the 8th, but she didn't want to change. She didn't want to send out any more statements or change the website. She just wanted to leave things in place, which I don't necessarily agree with personally, because I think it was like an unforced error to change the date by which the packages could be complete from the 8th to the 6th. And now James Stogerton is joining us.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chair, you've got a hand up from Eleanor.
Okay, Eleanor, go ahead.
I'm only just finding the draft agenda, so I wasn't quite sure whether is difficulties with the candidate statements, is that included in what we've already got?
I think so.
That's not what we talked about. We haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah.
No, I'm just asking, is it on the agenda?
Yeah, I think all the difficulties should be covered. Yeah.
Okay.
Obstacles to, you know, setting up and things like that.
Okay, so all under right. under success obstacles for candidate sign up is included obstacles with the candidates with the candidate statements.
We could do that, sure.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure of that. And I'll put the draft agenda, which I believe was adopted, in the chat right now.
Thank you.
Okay, so, like I say, Myra, what do you want to leave this issue that I think the understanding is that people until July 8th, right, because of the written communication between Renee and Jan?
Aki, what Renee said was that even though she has informed candidates that they have until the 6th to complete their packets, which right. include all of their nominators and their statements and everything else, and the and importantly the Fair Campaign Pledge,
mm-hmm.
that she will honor up until the 8th anyone who is, if some people are late and they get it in by the 8th, she will honor.
Okay, so we don't have to really announce it to whatever. She can announce and then we just have understanding that this is what's going to happen, right?
That includes changes to candidate statements question?
I believe so. I believe so.
Okay, so in any case, because of the communication, we can always, you know, challenge that if somebody has a problem putting in by July 8th, then. Is that
Mr.
okay?
Chair, Violetta ahead, Diamond? Susan. Yeah, Violetta Diamond, I think, just joined us. Can she just say that she's here?
I'm here.
Okay, very good. Good enough.
Aki, can I be recognized? This is Jack. On
Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, I believe that because of the 4th of July holiday and the Monday, Tuesday, the 4th was the Tuesday and Monday was kind of like a hard day to get, the attention of the NES to get, nominators, qualified, I guess is the way to say it. I think that there's a mad rush in New York City, at least for people to get their statements up and, for people to get nominate enough nominators for the candidates. Mm-hmm. So part of the problem, I believe, and I'm not trying to say that I encountered the problem. I encountered the problem in a different way, but I built through it. The lack of statements that many candidates have, at least in New York City, is obvious to me. And, I hope that they understand that they still have until the 8th. It's not a very long essay and it certainly isn't difficult to get a picture and to upload it, but, that's what I've been noticing, and so I'll just report that because the 4th of July we weren't getting people to, you know, qualify nominators, And, you know, I guess maybe people weren't realizing, other things happen in your life as well, that, maybe they had to get this essay written and upload it or put it there and save it is what you have to do. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I think the 6th is tomorrow and the 8th is, you know, 3 days away. I think I'll have to communicate with NES to make sure that there's understanding that, you know, the deadline is 7-8 instead of a 7-6, which is small. Otherwise, you know, it'd be too much of a chaos. Okay. Can we go to item number 2? B. Now B and C are probably similar. So could somebody explain, what is being accomplished by success and obstacles for candidates and nominators? And you want to take that on?
I could do that.
Okay.
Candidate sign up is one thing. Nominator sign up is a slightly different thing. You have to choose one or the other. And I have heard back from nominators who, you know, people that I got to sign up to become members and to become nominators. I've heard back from them about how difficult it was for them. One of them became a member, paid up member on April 15th, but Renee didn't validate them and they had to send in their credit card proof. And they found the website thing very confusing. Someone was asking me, how am I supposed to know that clicking on my profile is what I have to do in order to see who to I can nominate? They don't have a profile. Nominators don't have a profile. Candidates have a profile, but nominators don't. And so people found it very confusing.
Okay.
And candidates didn't find it a piece of cake either.
Right. Let me get a couple more people to weigh in on this. Vanessa?
Hey there. So, I guess so first I want to say I think the election, supervisor has done as well as she could. It has been an incredibly, incredibly frustrating experience, for the nominators and for me. Everything sort of started coming together and getting resolved in the last 24 hours from last week. So that's a good thing. She got an assistant. The assistant was able to help. When nominators just simply, I mean, that is one of the concerns. The site says my profile and you have to know what that means to know what that means. And because I got that instruction from the election supervisor, I was then able to pass on that instruction to some nominators, and to some other candidates so that they could tell their nominators, because it's not intuitive. It's not self-explanatory. The nominators had to really, 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 really want to do it. These have to be people who are either your friends or they really believe in you, because they had to try 3 and 4 and 5 times. They kept getting new links. Eventually, it was all resolved. So that's the good thing. Even as a nominator myself, I had a problem. I could look at my bank statements and call my bank and said, hey, what were my contributions? And they told me none of that was showing up in the database. So I didn't look like I wasn't a member. Neither was the LSP chair. I'm like, how does that happen? So then we had to find other ways to prove our membership. And so that to me is the biggest concern. I have been frustrated out of my mind just trying to get nominators to be able to nominate. So fine. That was finally resolved. Possibly because I am an LSB delegate and I, you know, maybe got some advice from some other people that maybe somebody else who's a candidate wouldn't have been able to, you know, to do. But the biggest thing to me is that, that the database appears to be, lacking. That is my biggest concern. Notwithstanding my personal aggravation, that's what I come out of it with, is right. That not only has it affected the nomination process, my concern is how is this going to affect the election? Because right. The only reason I found out that I wasn't listed as a member in the database is mm-hmm. because I was going through the nomination process. I was going through the candidate process. That's the only way I knew. So what okay. other deficiencies are there? And I hear you trying to move on, Aki, but I'm just trying to really emphatically mm-hmm. make the point that I think is a huge problem. I don't know what we do, how right. we address this, but it's huge. I mean, the database is insufficient.
Right. Okay. Teresa, could you, you want to weigh in on some? Teresa?
I'm sorry. I'm not quite sure if this is the place to discuss this, but to me, I can't see what a candidate sees, but does a candidate know that they have that when they thought they were signing the fair campaign provisions, that it did take or didn't take?
You're asking whether the candidate can find out the status?
I guess I'm asking any of the candidates. Can you tell if you're fair?
May I try to answer?
Because I'm trying to encourage some people, and they tried, for several times they sent their statement, and they thought it was there, but it obviously wasn't there. And there were some that I told, and their first application was a frozen screen, so I told them to take pictures of it and send it by email, but I'm still wondering if there could be candidates that are not aware that they have to do three things. They need the fair campaign, they need the initial application, and they need a statement.
So may I address that question if it's okay?
Sure, go ahead.
And can we have the staff, because I too would like to address.
Yeah, go ahead.
Vanessa.
Okay. So yeah, just addressing that issue. No, I was not aware. I thought that all I needed to do was, you know, turn in my statements. I think there were a couple of things on the list, but the statement that was mentioned was not one of the things. So it sounds like maybe I haven't done something I'm supposed to do that I wasn't even aware of.
Okay. Myra, we're going to, you want to have a speak?
And let me tell you, Lily Kimura has just joined us.
Okay. All
and,
right.
Susan, I think, wants to hear her voice. Mark her as here.
Yeah. Has Lily spoke? Can she speak?
Well, that's
okay. Thank you, Lily. Thank you.
Okay, that's taken care of. Now, I have spoken to candidates who didn't know whether they had signed the fair campaign provision or not, and they had no way of knowing. So I told them to go back to the website and find the link and sign it. But they had no way of knowing whether they had already signed it.
Okay. Minerva? Minerva?
Okay. Yeah, I had to unmute myself. This, I understand, is part of when the NES states that all of the packet must be complete. It's also including that she's looking for that document as well. And she's been very good about reaching back out to people if there's information missing, or as I put in an email earlier today, she's identified people at different stations, and she sends a list, and we reach out to those individuals to see if there's help needed or any type of support they might need. So I think this is part of what the NES is doing, is to verify that each candidate has a complete packet. If not, she's reaching out to us or to them, or she's alerting one of the people that she's identified to help her at the different stations to reach out.
Okay, that's good. All right. Susan?
Add to what Minerva just said. I've been working closely with Renee, who's kept me posted on who all has their signatures, who does not, what the documents are and so forth. And we forwarded that to, our candidates and to our LSV to encourage people to be able to get things done. She said that the fair campaign, sign off was the least important. And if people didn't have it, she would follow through with them to make sure they got that done. If that hadn't been done when their packages were complete.
Very good. Okay. So it seems like she's trying to accommodate as much as we can. And even though the database issue, we can, you know, maybe Susan, you can address that with her about concern about the database issue, because that's a really big thing that she herself can do. You know, she cannot solve it by herself. It's a bigger issue. So, but it needs to be addressed. So maybe you can send something to Renee about that. But otherwise, it looks like Renee is trying to reach out to the candidates about the problems they're having.
Point of information.
Sure, go ahead.
So are there two things that need to be done absolutely by the 8th, and that is the initial application, and then they're going to have to prove, then they're going to check to see that you're a paid member, for example, or you're a staff member. And the other thing is a candidate statement, or do they have until wherever to change those statements?
Well, in the past, you know, you were able to change the statement, but I think they had to be in by 7/8 is my understanding. Does anybody have a different understanding?
All right, that's good.
All right. So
I guess.
Well, I guess we can, that's another one that Susan can.
And let me ask one other question. Is there a different email? It seems like I've seen one or two other emails other than NES@pacifica.org. Is there, if you have problems, is there another email to send something to?
Yes.
And what is that?
That is the assistant, which is support@pacifica.org. And that person has really been helpful to me as well.
Okay. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can I add some information?
Sure. Go ahead.
There also seems to be a tech support. I don't know if that's the same people. And I wonder about that fair practice statement. I don't remember signing anything like that, but I certainly will sign it immediately.
All right.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, go ahead.
If I could just add something about the dates. I've as Secretary of the Elections Committee, I've been in touch with, and also for, you know, being worker, be it KPFT, been in touch with Renee a lot. I think that she urges that people work to the current deadlines. Try to get everybody in with everything in complete by Thursday afternoon, evening. And if you need more time, fine. But try to get it done. You know, stringing it out doesn't make it any better, and it causes more confusion and complexity for Renee. As Vanessa has said, she's got a big thing she's having to deal with in a very short time frame, and it's, I hope we can make her job easier rather than harder.
Okay. Noted. All right. Let's go on to the next item, which is number D, which is confirming list by cards and website and statement emails.
Wait, there's a obstacle for candidate sign up that I'd like to discuss.
Okay, go ahead, Eleanor.
I have been trying. I want to be able to put a candidate state there on the form. There's a place for a candidate statement in Spanish. you can click on it to go to a Spanish statement. And I wanted to put a Spanish statement. And I have two obstacles. One is getting my candidate statement translated into Spanish, since I am not a Spanish speaker. And the other is I've been trying to get help with using mechanical translation and so forth. My 500-word statement, I originally put in English a 500-word statement, and I was told it was 6 words too long, and I had to chop some more. So the difference between what my Apple Pages says is 500 words and what the form says, that's one problem. The other problem is that translating a 500-word statement into Spanish using mechanical translation expanded it to 640 words. So it seems to me that Spanish speakers should be able to get the same amount of information as English speakers, even if that takes more words. Now, there's a short candidate statement, which is to be 145 words maximum, and a long one that's 500 words maximum. If both of them were shown, then I could put, you know, the beginning of my statement in the short one and the rest in the long one and have the whole thing come out. But there's something about the website. It only shows people the long statement. It does not show the short one. So I would like to either, you know, or both. I'd like to both get that fixed in 2021 when I ran for the first time. The short statement and the long statement were both shown, the short one on top of the long one. And if that were done again, that would give the extra number of words that the statement expands to in Spanish, but that's not being done. So I'd like to propose either that the website be fixed so it shows both the short and the long one, or that the Spanish one, the form for the Spanish one, should give extra words so Spanish speakers can get the same amount of information. It's just not fair to penalize Spanish speakers by saying you get to learn less because it takes more words to say something in Spanish.
Point of order.
Well, it's one of those issues that can't be, can resolve. It's up to the NES. If there's a complaint, then, you know, it has to be brought up with the NES.
Point of order.
Go ahead, Myra.
Point of information. I'm just wondering, because at the beginning of this meeting, Aki, you said that committee members who are a candidate should refrain from talking about their candidacy. It's going to be kind of difficult if,
right,
as a candidate, you're having problems. But now that...
Right. But these are issues that NES have to determine. You know, it's obviously not in the bylaws, anything like that. It's a judgment call. And if this is...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm driving, so I'd like to squeeze in, please. I can't raise a hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lily, go ahead.
Yes, please. I have two similar issues to address, have the body address.
Okay.
Two people that I wanted to see join and become candidates showed up at the 0 hour, like yesterday.
Okay.
Now, that was almost too late to say anything, but if it's been extended to the 8th, they're paying the $25 and then getting everything done on the website, is that $25 membership still valid? In other words, Can they join now?
Right.
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
No. Carol, okay. For the staff.
Okay, go ahead.
That's the question.
I think that from the meeting that we had with the Q&A, I think Renee was very clear that she wasn't extending the date for membership.
Okay.
That would cut off was June 30th.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Point of information, it was the whole year leading up to June 30th.
Yeah, I said the cutoff was June
30th. Yeah, I understand, but it makes it sound like it was like a week. What really happened was we had a whole year to become members.
No, some people from across the country got in touch at the last minute, and I'm just trying to be sure that what I say to them is correct. That's all.
Okay, very good. All right. So, Carol, you want to speak to the item D about confirming this?
Oh, yes. This is in connection with what Vanessa was talking about of that the lists are not as there's a lot of problems with the lists. And Vanessa, I don't think you were at the meeting, the question and answer meeting, but Renee,
I was.
Okay. Well, she talked about, you know, how there are a lot of missing names and everything. So one of the suggestions that I had for trying to get more accurate information, because evidently, not only is the problem that you have about who donated, but there's also the problem that there's a lot of people who don't have email addresses. So what one way, I mean, I know that there has to be like, you know, different forms of follow up on that. But one suggestion that I had was be that there be cards and, on the radio followed by postings on the websites. So, that what that would look like would be, and I wrote it in the chat, like I wrote it like KPF something members, but it would also be like appropriate for the East Coast stations as well. So it might be like WPFW members, please confirm your current email address here. And you would have a link that will go to whoever handles the membership at your station. And then it would be confirm it here to get your e-ballot for April 15th, to get your e-ballot August 15th and vote in the 2023 local station board elections. And that would be on the website. It would just say confirm here. And then there would be on the air cards that would say, hi, blah, 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 members, blah, blah, blah. Your station wants to make sure that you are able to vote by e-ballot in the local station board elections. Please help by registering your current email address at the top of the, and then you'd have your station website homepage so that we can send your ballot on August 15th. So that's one part. And then if you cannot vote by email, you can call and have a phone number with your contact information to request a paper ballot. Now, my concern about the paper ballots, and I think this is also on the agenda, but I'll continue on because it's part of this. If that's okay, Aki, is it okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Pacifica was unable to support an election in 2022 due to financial constraints and is attempting to complete an election in 2023 with severely limited resources. Members may not be aware that it costs over $5 to send a paper ballot. We request that all members attempt to vote electronically if at all possible, and if not, we welcome donations to the Pacifica Foundation Election Fund at, and then you have some kind of GoFundMe thing, donate here. So for $5 if anybody wants to. So that would be, you know, a draft, So I would put that forward as a motion. Anybody on the committee wants to support it, and that we forward that to the National Election Supervisor.
So what is the motion?
Okay. What is the wording of the motion? For, carts and postings on websites to be used to gather accurate registration information for voting.
Okay. I think that's a great idea. And I think we should follow that. Does anybody have any objection to sending this motion to Renee?
Point of information.
Go ahead, I would object, Becky.
Okay. Mayra, what
I would like to know if your motion includes that proposed language. In which case, I think that I can support it, but I think that proposed language is really well written.
Yeah, and thank you. It does. As a
question, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead,
Carol
Susan.
Brought up more than one thing, so I'm not clear what the motion is. I'm not clear, is the motion about carts and refining the list, or is the motion about $5 for paper ballots?
My
or are those two separate motions?
I think the motion is about putting up the costs and getting the people to confirm their email address, which is a very good effort to do. Is that right, Cal?
I'm okay doing it however the committee wants to, and it sounds like Susan wants to separate those. I think the $5 thing was on the agenda.
Farther down on the agenda, yes.
Yeah, so why don't we separate it? But I would like to hear what the objection is, if it is about the $5 part or if it is about putting it, asking people to send their information.
Yeah, who was objecting?
I did, Aki, and I'll be very frank. Susan's observation is part of my observation. It was three things all in one motion. I would also I would request, not necessarily ask. I guess the words are the same words.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that you're putting a class of voters in a category where they have to pay for it. And I don't think that's going to bring out more voters. I think it's going to bring out less voters.
Okay,
and I think part of the, one more thing, Aki, I think part of the problem we're having in many of these democratic processes is that when you make it hard for people to vote, they don't vote. So they'll just, right. Say, oh, I'm not going to give you $5 to give me a paper ballot unless they're highly motivated and they know all about this and they have a computer. And they can vote so easily. When you make voting difficult, some people say, I'm not interested anymore. This is not democracy. This is difficult voting.
So, Mr. Chair, to be clear,
mm-hmm.
as I understand it, that question about the $5 comes up later in the agenda and is not the motion that Carol is bringing forward now.
Right. So, Jack, if that $5 issue is off the motion, would you object?
Restate the motion and I'll agree. I think that the $5 is part of the problem. And I think what Susan points out, if it comes up
motion is only to put the card up, encourage people to go through their station's website to confirm their email.
I withdraw my objection. It's also in the chat. She had put it in the chat. So if you want to read it, it's in the chat now.
Okay. All right. So if there's no objection, I think it's a good motion. So.
My hand is up.
That. Okay, Teresa, go ahead.
It's not really, as I understand it, so have we removed the $5 mention of $5?
It's not coming up until later in the agenda.
We separated it.
Okay, so now I am still wondering now what we're voting on. Yeah.
We're voting on having a motion to have the cards, have cards on the air. To tell people to go to their station's website where it's easy for them to confirm that, basically asking people to confirm their email address.
Okay.
So it's
okay.
Easy
Thank you.
To sign them up.
Okay? Thank you.
All right. All right. I don't know. You have a hands up?
Yes, two things, well, three things, I guess. One, a nominator just got back to me and said that they weren't able to get into the system to make more nominations.
Okay.
Yeah, they went once and now they're not able to go back and do more. So that's a problem.
Right. Okay.
And also, who has the records of who inherited what seat in DC and LA?
Right.
And, yeah, and the third thing is, as I was mentioning before, maybe I should have put it this way. I'd like to make a motion about, a quality of access to Spanish.
Okay. Well, let's separate the three things. Nomination problem is, you know, one of those issues that we need to address with NES about general problem of candidates and nominators. Who is the,
To be clear, Mr. Chair?
Who is Secretary?
I don't think that's a motion, is it?
No,
it's not. In other words, Eleanor Elizabeth's issue, she needs to take it to the NES. It's not, I'm not recording it down and taking it to the NES, am I?
Right, right. And the other thing is
Because
it's what, well, it's part of the problems that, and you can list it as part of the problem that nominators are having. Who is the list of people in the KPFK and WPFW? We as a committee cannot do anything about
May I respond, Aki, about WPFW?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
I'm going to respond only to say, I believe the issue is resolved. I'm actually going to defer to Minerva. She is the vice chair of PFW, okay. So she may have more information than I do, but I believe the issue is resolved. So I defer to Minerva.
Okay.
I have one more question.
Go ahead.
Are we having a combined election for 2022 and 2023 open seats, which would be twice as many seats available, at least at some stations?
I can't ask the question off the bat. But anyway, maybe. Go ahead, Maya. Go ahead.
Sorry, I can respond to the question about KPFK.
Okay, go ahead, Maya.
Our secretary.
So Vanessa answered about WPFW, so okay, Maya, you can answer about the KPFK. Go ahead.
The KPFK secretary, Kim Kaufman, has been scouring the records. She's kept very comprehensive records of who replaced who, when, and who was elected during which election. And I have gone over all of that with her and she's confirmed it with, it's been checked and double checked and it looks to be accurate, very accurate, thanks to Kim's meticulous record keeping.
Where do people get access to that information?
I don't think it's been made public yet. May I answer, Eleanor Elizabeth? I don't think it's been made public yet because we've been going back and forth over to make sure that we're doing it correctly. The only problem that we have is for one individual, because unfortunately for 2 years, we had a secretary who we did not have approved minutes. We didn't have timely minutes. I wasn't on the board at that time, on the local station board. And so there's a question about one individual, but other than that, I think we've almost resolved it. It has not yet been made public, but the information is based on minutes and audio recordings.
Okay, so we'll wait for the WPFW and KPFK to notify, obviously we'll notify the NES. Let me get a couple of the people who haven't spoken yet. Eric, you want to say something, Eric?
Yes, I'll just interject in response to Myla. If she mentioned that some investigations being done of the record, but it wasn't public. But she just publicized it to a degree. So that was imprudent, in my opinion. I actually wanted to say something about the previous item, or maybe it's still a pending item. I don't know. there was mention made of people being responding to carts, encouraging them to update their email addresses through the website. And I, from time to time, look at the KPFK website. I don't recall seeing any such, link or anything like that. I would encourage the NAS not to publicize such a cart unless and until she verifies that each and every website can accommodate people going on it and attempting to do what they're being asked to do. I just cringe at the idea of listeners attempting to do this task and finding that the website doesn't make it easy or it's not obvious, and then continuing to worry about it.
Right. I mean, obviously you can't have a cart until the website is able to accommodate it, right?
Well, you would think so, but that this is specific and not everything is done logically. So let's just put that within the text somewhere that these carts are to air after it's verified that the websites are capable of having an easy, very hard to miss link to do what the cart instructs them to do. That's all. Thank
okay.
You.
All right. Erica's off. Vanessa, you have something more?
Yeah, it's really a point of information just following up from the last speaker. Mm-hmm. So am I to understand, this sounds like something else that maybe I don't know about, that the website will accommodate carts. They won't be on the air, but they...
No. It said that cart. What we're proposing is to have carts that will direct people to the website. That's the basic, that's the motion.
People
will be advised on the cart to go to the website to update their email address is what the intent is.
So that's the cart. Okay, so let me just, I guess, fully explain. What I thought, which maybe is a good idea, is to have on the website the carts that normally would be played on the radio for each candidate. I don't know how doable that is, but I share the concern of others about the absence of carts, and at least that would be one way for voters who hear something, to hear the candidates. In addition to being able to read whatever they say.
Mr. Chair, that's a separate issue. I don't know that we have voted yet on the motion that was pending, which is about carts in order to clean up the list. I think carts is a different issue.
Right.
That's fine. I was just trying to clarify what I understood it to be.
Susan, on the motion, only objection was Jack, and then he withdrew the motion. So there was no objection to the motion.
Got it. Thank you.
Point of order.
Okay, Cal.
Where are we on the agenda?
What's that?
Where are we on the agenda?
Oh, okay. I think that we sort of exhausted number D. I think we have a pretty good idea. Okay, so why don't we go to number E, which is identify and respond to attacks on... So what is that about? Want to talk about that?
Point of information.
Go ahead, Maida.
I'm not clear. Have we all agreed, because there were no objections, to suggesting that carts be made, informing listeners that we would like to make sure that we have their correct email address?
So we update the email.
So we don't have to vote on that.
Right.
And that would not... What we agreed upon would not contain language about asking for money to pay for the...
Right, exactly. Yeah, we separated that out.
Thank you. Okay. And now we're past that. And when we come to the point where we're talking about carts, I do have some information about that, and I'd like to be part of that discussion.
Okay. Cal, you want to talk about the identity and responsible tax?
Yes. So one of the issues that we have had at KPFA is that some candidates have presented false and misleading information in the context of a campaign about Pacifica employees, former employees, staff, and board members. And so they use that in the context of an election to try and, you know, get votes. So this committee had passed a motion, and the motion had said that, you know, to add those categories of people to prohibit slander and libel. So I noticed that there is a statement in the Fair Campaign provision saying, and I'm trying to get to it on the website, but I can't while I'm still in Zoom, but I'm going to paraphrase it. It says something like the NES will not, Pacifica cannot make any decisions or will not get involved in deciding on political issues, political speech within the context of the campaign. And then it follows it by saying something like, we urge all candidates to be aware of laws involving libel and slander. So, I am concerned that Pacifica is not addressing the issue of protecting the confidentiality rights, of staff and other members, and as well as protecting people from false accusations in the context of a campaign. So I wanted to open that up as a topic, and I don't believe that the changes made address the concerns that the committee made.
Okay. Anybody have issue? Let me go through the stack that I have. I have
are they going to be commenting on this or on something else?
No, they got to comment on this particular topic, E. So about the, what Cal was talking about. So if anybody wants to talk about that, they just have I have full names up. Myra, Eleanor, Eric, and Susan. Go ahead, Myra.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake for Pacifica to tell people that they need to rely on the judicial system in order to prevent people from making false statements about either staff or other candidates. Because in the real world, this will not be solved in the judicial system. And there really should be consequences. It is not that difficult to figure out whether someone has made a false accusation about someone. And I believe that if those false accusations are made, if people are smeared or libeled or have their names scandalized unjustly and unfairly, that they should be able to file a fair campaign complaint, and that this should be looked at by the election supervisor and the people who look at and review complaints. And we shouldn't leave it up to the judicial system, because we know that this will not be resolved in our court system. It's just absurd to think that it might be.
Okay. Thank you. Eleanor, go ahead.
As I said before, I wanted to make a motion that we ask the NES to make sure that Spanish speakers have access to the same information that English speakers do, even if it takes more words to say the same thing.
Point of order, not germane to this subject. Can we get to that one next?
All right. Okay. Why don't we postpone that to after this topic here? Eric, go ahead. Jacobson?
I just wanted to clarify, when there was no objections to the previous item involving the carts, unless we make a specific mention that the NES is to check with the various stations to see that their website can accommodate what the carts are going to say, then I would like to be marked as having objected. But that's not why that's not germane to what we're talking about. I do have something brief to say about that, which just came up. It sounded to me that when Carol paraphrased the change that was made, there's now a reference that wasn't there before for people to be mindful of the boundaries of between free speech and the kind of thing we want, which is a robust debate on the issues that Pacifica faces. And we're in a very, we're kind of a distressed organization. So we have to have robust debate in these elections. And it sounds to me like the NES responded by putting in a line that people should be mindful of the boundary between fair speech and free speech and defamation. So I think that's perfectly sufficient. It's unless there's something I'm missing. We can't get into the censorship business because candidates should not have to walk on eggshells when they feel strongly about the destiny of Pacifica and what ails it and how to fix it and all the things that elections are about. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Susan, go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, I think that abusive speech at Pacifica is rampant. It is destructive. It's a tainted version of free speech. It is not effective and it injures Pacifica and our mission and our reputation, and it drives away good people. However, I do not think that the NES and the assistant are the ones who are in a position to parse slander and libel. The committee voted. You will recall it was a very closely split vote because there was a lot of discussion about what are the capabilities of the NES and the team. And we've made the recommendation. It passed. The recommendation was made. The NES and the assistant took that into account and crafted a response. So I believe that we have already addressed this, and it is what it is.
Okay. Now, Carol, you began this, you wanted the discussion on this, and I think you had a fairly healthy discussion. So why don't you conclude the session by, why don't you finish this up?
Thank you. I would like to make a motion that Pacifica, not the NES, that Pacifica draft a statement regarding slander and libel, an educational statement about slander and libel, and that statement, a cautionary statement about slander and libel, be sent from Pacifica, not the NES, to all candidates and board members.
Okay. I second that.
Okay, very good. So you put that in the chat, Cal?
Okay.
Is there any objection to this motion? It's been seconded.
Who was it who seconded?
Jack. Jack seconds that.
Okay, great.
Please read the motion again.
I'm writing it in the chat on the national, the Olympic election committee, requests that, Pacifica draft a statement, regarding, slander and libel, and that it be sent to all candidates and all LSB, members.
Okay, so we can send that to PNB tomorrow. I mean, we can send it out to be on PNB agenda tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay.
Point of information?
Sure.
When you say Pacifica draft, where does that go? Who does that, what does that mean that Pacifica is drafting it? Who in Pacifica is drafting it?
With the motion that PNB, it's already been drafted, then PNB just simply had to pass it. Motion has been sent to the PNB to be, you know.
I mean,
we're sending the voting to the PNB.
I'm sorry, it's just not clear to me.
I would say to the PNB and the executive director.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll write it in the chat. And if you want to go on.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Do you want to go to item F about the simplified disclaimer?
Yes. Does anybody know if there's been any action on shortening the disclaimers?
I looked at them and I don't think that they're shortened. I think that Craig has got that on his to-do list.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So Craig is taking care of that. Thank you. We go on to then G, which is, okay. So you want to go over, item G is candidate making statements in NSB, PNB, and committee meetings. That we had to be cautionary about, you know, candidates making statements like in public comments, for instance. So is there any discussion on this?
Kate, may I have you notice for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
I didn't know what to bring this up, but I believe that there are some candidates in New York City that are using multiple identities. Okay. I don't know where this belongs because it's a false statement. It's not slander. And it certainly is something that I don't think it's going to be easy to disentangle. Right. There's also a staff candidate. And I think these are how shall I say it? I don't think they're violations, but I think they're minor treading across the line or on the line issues. Mm-hmm. A staff candidate endorsing a slate of mm-hmm. candidates. And so I don't know where to bring this up, but it just came up today because it's all been so rushed and everything. And I think the third thing is that there was a difficulty to figure out who certain people were because they weren't using their true identity. I don't know what that's, you know, where that fits in between F and G and D and whatever, but thank you.
It's all dirty politics. Any other discussion? Okay, Vanessa, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to ask the previous speaker when he referred to staff endorsing candidates. Could you explain that a little more? Does that mean staff endorsing listener candidates or staff? I mean, what does that mean?
Well, you said
clarification.
Why don't you just repeat yourself? You just said it. A staff candidate has now said that they are endorsing a list of listener candidates, and I believe that that's a violation.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Myra.
Was it said on the air, Jack, or where was the,
It's in the published statement.
In their public statement, I think that
that's... The one that's on the website.
I don't think that's a violation.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll have to look at that.
All right. Eric, go ahead, Eric.
That's a legacy hand. I'm sorry, Aki, I'll lower it.
Okay, no problem. Susan, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, I think that two things. One, I think the question about if there's a published statement with an endorsement in it, that's something the NES should address. It may or may not be because it's using, you know, it's using Pacifica resources, whatever like that. The question of how to deal with candidates talking about themselves, talking about their candidacies in meetings such as committees, boards, whatever, was Carol brought it up, I believe, on the Q&A. Renee responded, "Huh, that's an interesting and a very important question. I'm not sure what the answer is." And there were people who said, "It is not fair. I'm not currently on the LSV, so it's not fair if people have more opportunity to promote themselves." So, I think that's unresolved. I think it's something that, Renee is taking into consideration. And it seems to me, Aki, that you handled it very well at the beginning of this meeting, which was to say, anybody who is running, please do not use this opportunity to promote your candidacy, announce or promote your candidacy.
Okay. So, Kel, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to address Jack's questions first and say that.
Go ahead.
My understanding that individuals as staff members can endorse on a website as an individual. They can't do it in other ways like on the air or, you know, on their show or something, but their names can appear as an endorser. They cannot nominate. So a staff person cannot nominate a listener. But it's my understanding that they can mention it on the website. But I would question the whole issue of people using false names. I mean, that seems out of integrity. And I would suggest that that would be grounds for a fair campaign provision complaint, because they're not, and the way that would work if somebody's not using their own name is that, you know, they have to provide basic contact information to register. And if they're not providing their appropriate registration information, that would be a grounds for a complaint. And then, so are we on the place of the agenda to talk about during meetings right now? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Meeting, okay. Committee meetings, PNB, LSB, yeah.
So, as a member of, I'm a secretary of an LSV. I know Susan is. And as a member of an LSV and Minerva's a vice chair of, WPFW. So we, in our meetings, we need to, you know, be fair and provide equal opportunity because it's a website that has, it's a Pacifica, you know, it's a Pacifica meeting listed on the Pacifica network. So in those meetings, how do we provide equal opportunity for people to talk about their candidacy or not? You know, and so, I was asking for direction about that. I mean, and what my proposal would be that, you know, during a given meeting that there be time allotted during the meeting for candidates to talk about their candidacy for a designated period of time. And that would be one way to do it. Or another way would be for candidates who are not LSB members to call in during public comments, and they could mention their candidacy for a designated period of time. And then, out of public comments, the LSB members who are candidates would have an equal amount of time that the other people had to talk about their candidacy. But I just think that it would be helpful to have a little clarity about how other people are working on that. And I would I would really welcome hearing from other people in this meeting how you are planning on doing it in your meetings, particularly Minerva and Susan.
Okay. Right now I have two people on the stack, which is Myra and Vanessa. Go ahead, Myra.
Well, this goes along the lines of false identity, but also anonymity. And let me just say that, you know, when we were crafting the bylaws 20 odd years ago, we made a point of allowing people to make comments and appear and speak anonymously. And that was to prevent retribution to whistleblowers. And it seems like there are certain people in the Pacifica community who are using that ability to appear anonymously to regularly comment during local station board meetings and other Pacifica meetings that are streamed, to make statements that are sometimes somewhat inflammatory and misleading, or could be disputed by others as being not completely factual. And one of those individuals who commonly calls in to our KPFK local station board and other meetings that I've noticed is currently a candidate at WBAI. And I wonder about, I think that one of the things that we have talked about in terms of fairness is that people really, when people during the candidacy, during the campaign period, which ostensibly started on June 1st and goes through until the ballots are sent out and until ballots are counted, I'm not exactly sure when that period ends, that listener candidates are precluded from appearing on the radio. And now we're talking about possibly what the implications are for those people getting unfair advantage by also being heard during Pacifica meetings that are streamed and recorded and available to be listened to by people at their leisure when they decide to. I don't know exactly how to address it or whether we need to address it, but I just wanted to put that out there as part of the what we're grappling with here. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay, two things. One, I was informed today that the NES said that staff could endorse listener candidates. That is my express understanding. So maybe that, you know, bears checking out, but I just found out today and presume that it is correct. The other issue in terms of candidate statements goes back to what was initially my misunderstanding about the motion about carts, that I thought it was about candidates having the opportunity to post a statement on the website. And I'm going back to that because I think my misunderstanding is actually a good idea. It's the, you know, the seed of a good idea. That trying to give candidates the opportunity to speak during committee meetings takes the focus off the committee meeting. We have work to do. That's what the committee meetings are for. But, you know, some way, and I get the intent of what Carol is saying, to provide some opportunity for candidates who are not LSB delegates to be able to be heard. And so I think that in other words, there's some people who have expressed concern about there not being carts, not any carts. Nobody's going to be able to listen to their station and hear the candidates. That, you know, that's a decision that was made. So maybe a way to deal with that is, you know, a modification of that idea, which is to have carts, but just have them available on the website, that voters can click on a name, read the statement, hear the person speak for themselves. So I am actually putting that, I'm not sure how to make it happen. I am making a motion, I guess, for this committee to support that idea. So I am now looking for a second for that, for cards to be available on the website, so that all candidates will have some sort of equal access to be heard by the voters. Not hearing a second.
This is Myla. I seconded, but I believe that that's already in the works. May I explain?
Oh, sure.
Go ahead.
It's my understanding, and this is secondhand, but Jan Goodman did tell me that she's been in conversation with Renee about that very thing, and that Renee plans to allow candidates, after she gets through this phase of getting all of the candidates certified, that she will invite candidates to send her both video and audio, and I don't know the length yet, the limit in terms of time, but it's my understanding that Renee is planning to do just what you're suggesting, Vanessa. I don't think it would be problematic for us to pass your motion, and so that she knows that this committee is in agreement with what I believe she's already proposing.
Okay. So, should that be interpreted as a second?
Oh, that's what the first thing I said was I seconded it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you did. Okay. I'm sorry.
So please put it in the chat. Please.
I'm driving. I can't do it. I just don't have the capacity on my cell phone while driving to do that. My apology.
So Milo, can you write it in the chat?
I'm not going to write it, but what I am going to do is I'll transcribe it later and send it to you.
Great.
Okay.
Point of information, Aki. This is Jack.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
I listen to every NES available, the listener forum, Pacifica listener forum. Uh-huh. And I also listen to a special meeting with the executive director. And I believe that is exactly what was said.
Okay.
That it's very difficult to get everybody to give an audio file, so that would be played on the air or a debate or a gathering or something like that. So we're not going to do like we've traditionally done in the past. So what was said was they will do everything in their power to collect and air or make available to be heard audio files of candidates, voices and sound information or read a statement, if you like. That would be what I would suggest. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any more?
Is there any objection to that motion? So the motion that will be transcribed and provided to us passes without objection, and it is supporting the NES in proceeding with audio and video files.
Right.
I wanted to go back to the question of, you know, people speaking in committees and so forth.
Yes.
I agree with Vanessa. I think that loading up LSB meetings and committee meetings with candidate statements, is burdensome, very hard to manage, and, disrupts what are important things that need to happen. I think it's good to have some guardrails around it so that people do not, are promptly stopped from making campaign, statements, in their capacity of serving on boards or committees or, you know, even in public comment, because then people who are listeners and coming onto public comment and making statements, they are putting those who are serving on the boards at disadvantages. So that would be my advice at KPFT, but I'll look forward to getting more instruction from the NES.
Right. Okay, it's a difficult balancing act. So it's going to be hard to resolve that. All right. I think they've been pretty good.
I have my hand up one more time.
Okay, Myla. Let's finish this up with Myla.
I forgot to mention this before. It's a question that I have.
Okay.
And that is that I have noticed that our station manager has been nominating some of our candidates and not all of our candidates. And I think that that is problematic because he should be a neutral, I believe, in his capacity as station manager. He's not staff. I'd like to know what other people think about the fact that he is serving as a nominator in this election.
Well, I'd like to say something about that.
Oh, go ahead, Teresa.
How can you say that your interim general manager is not staff? That position is definitely staff.
Okay.
And I don't think they should play favorites. I think that's wrong. And something needs to be done about that right away. You mean he's actually a nominator? He's nominated some of these people?
Yes, our interim general manager is, if you look at who has nominated various candidates, our interim general manager has nominated certain candidates and not other candidates.
Okay, well, that's something to be
taken
up.
Somebody needs to file
it.
A fair campaign.
No. Well, that's to be taken up. Well, that's to be taken up with the NES.
It is being taken up with the NES. It's already something that she is in interaction about.
Okay, that's good. All right, so that was the last of the G. So then let's go to number H, which is the $5 donation issue.
Hockey, I raised my hand before we move on. Can I just make a brief comment on the last point that was brought up?
Sure. Go ahead.
The last I heard, the NES and all of us were worried that because of the time compression, we were going to have a situation where we had such a paucity of candidates that it would undermine the whole point of an election. So I, for one, cannot fault the IGM of KPFK for attempting to, as a nominator, help people become candidates, because we don't want an election where anything close to the bare number of seats available are the number of people running. Yeah, otherwise, there's no sense of competition or judgment having to be made by the members as to the direction and the quality of the people that they want to, to steer the foundation in. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, James. How are you, James? Why don't you, is the director's participating? I forget now. What is the understanding, Susan and Kel?
I would like to move that the committee allow James, can you tell us what you want to speak about? And I would make a motion if it's relevant.
Well, I hope, I want to speak on the question of whether an IGM is a staff person.
Yeah, I would move to allow that James be allowed to speak on that for,
Go ahead, James.
May I just say that I think, directors have been allowed to speak at other meetings and it's appropriate. I appreciate being allowed to speak. I just heard the statement that an interim general manager must be considered a staff person, but actually they're management, which is a different category. We have staff, we have listeners. There's no management candidates. There's, I don't know where a management person fits into that rubric. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So let's go to item H. Kel, you were talking about.
May I say something? I think my hand is up or was up.
Who is this? Teresa?
Teresa, yes. The board evaluates management. So I would think it's not appropriate for that person to be nominating the people that will potentially be evaluating that person.
Good point. Okay, thank you. Now, Kel?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say I believe it's in the bylaws that it cannot be, that management cannot be nominating. And so while I appreciate that some people want to get a lot of their candidates on something and they're trying to advocate for that, but that isn't a reason to be violating the bylaws. So, that's what, yeah. And I just also want to say about the Q&A on the 15th, that is the same day we have a KPFA local station board meeting. So, I think that that's going to be a challenge. I know that we will be posting that today. So I would move that that Q&A be changed to the following week.
Okay.
I suggest you bring it to the attention of the NES. This committee does not decide those dates.
Susan, could this committee request that be change to the following Saturday.
Okay. So it's a motion to request NES to have the Q&A postponed from 7:15 to 7:22?
Yeah.
Okay. So Susan, you can send that to NES, right?
Is there any objection to that motion? So I'll say if the motion is please consider changing it, I don't object.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Wait. I'm not following why this is being made.
Yeah. Please be clear about what's being decided.
It's because of the fact that KPFA LSP has a scheduled meeting on the 7:15, and so we're just saying that it's going to conflict with the Q&A on the 7:15.
Aki, what Q&A with the NES? I guess.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
She has every 2 weeks a Q&A scheduled on Saturdays. She has told us that more than once.
So we're just requesting a 1 week delay.
It would make more sense to make it on Sunday rather than a 1 week delay, a 1 day delay.
Just as long as it doesn't conflict with the KPFK. Local board meeting, which is on a Sunday. Let me see. I think it's the third Sunday is KPFK local station board.
Perhaps the time could be changed then. So that they don't.
So I'm going to put forward the motion as we request that she reconsider that schedule in light of local station board meetings.
Okay.
The time of the meeting.
The schedule. Time, day, whatever.
Mm. Okay. All right.
Could we put time and schedule so that she's aware that that time is an option, changing the time rather than the date?
Well, we're just going to put in the date of the KPFA LSP, right? So then she can decide whatever based on that. Okay, Kel, do you have anything to say about the $5 donation?
I'm sorry, Aki, my hand is up for this topic, please.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay. Two things. One, I agree with the previous speaker in terms of indicating time. I think it's a good idea. The election supervisor might not consider maybe if she just changes the time, keeps the day, but changes the time so it doesn't conflict with the KPFA LSP meeting, that could solve the problem. I think it's a good idea. Right. Although I get what's being said about schedule, it just might not, you know, come across her mind, oh, I could just change the time. The other issue, the larger issue is, where does it say in the bylaws that management cannot nominate listener candidates? And I hear the reasons that are being stated, but I'm telling you, I was told today that the NES said this was allowable. So that will affect some people's vote counts if that's not true. So it would be good to get some clarification about that now before the deadline, before people's 15 nomination vote count is potentially affected by that.
Well, you know, Vanessa, only thing that the bylaw says is that nominator for listener has to be a listener member. So here, listener member, you know, that's only thing that the bylaw says. It doesn't say anything about...
I hear you, Aki. What I'm telling you is that very distinctly, very specifically, I was told today that the NES said that this was allowable. So now this has happened. So okay. It just needs to be, the deadline's tomorrow. So we just need to, I mean, if there's, I would like, you know, just something definitive, because if the NES is wrong, the NES is wrong, but this is what the NES is saying. And people are making nominations accordingly.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's the issue that needs to be debated. Okay.
This is Minerva, just real quick. I hate to cut in, but ahead, I sent that same question to the NES today, and she said that no, listener candidates can be voted on by listeners, and the staff would be staff. She didn't say that staff could do listener candidates, and I have that in a text message from her. So okay, I don't know, Vanessa, where you got your information.
Okay, so by staff, is she including management? I think Sagerton said something, there's a difference between staff and management. So when she says staff, is she also referring to management? Or that's not clear, maybe?
That part, the question was, there was someone who is staff, and a listener wanted to vote for the individual, and I put that question through, and it was advised that no, this could not be done. So I don't know how you distinguish between management and staff, but that question was not presented where she's, you know, she gave her answer.
I'm sorry, Minerva, I couldn't hear you. My phone was ringing at the same time. From an employment standpoint, staff is usually non-management, or maybe it could, I guess it depends. It's a matter of definition, but I think maybe that was the, that there, and I think he asserted it. I believe so. Hopefully I'm not misquoting him, that there's staff, which is generally non-supervisory, and then there's management. So it would just be helpful, I think, to get some, you know, really clear definition around what the NES means by staff, because I know what I was told today.
Okay. Well, you know, Vanessa, this is sort of a very critical bio-related issue. And then you at WPW is, you know, really involved in it. So I think that it would be best that, you know, you, Vanessa and Minerva, you all, you know, go over the bylaws with the NES, because, you know, we are sitting in the committee right now. We really can't, you know, judge it. I mean, we can't evaluate it right away. No,
but I think it is the role and responsibility of the committee to go to the NES and say, these concerns have been expressed. We want to make sure that everybody who has been nominated by someone who may be in a class that's ineligible to nominate them, that they're not harmed by that.
Right. Okay.
And I would, I agree with you, that, Vanessa, if you put that in writing to me, or, you know, we can take this to Renee and get her, response to that. But, you're right. We do need to continue on, but, I know the statement, the answer that I was given earlier today. Okay. And okay. If we didn't talk about management. Okay.
Thanks. Okay, thank you, Minerva.
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized?
Sure, Teresa, go ahead.
Was that Minerva just speaking?
Minerva and Vanessa both spoke.
Okay, yeah. When Minerva was talking about, when Minerva was speaking, she said, she was told that people, that only listeners could vote for people. We're talking about nominating. And I don't know if I need to, file a fair campaign provisions, complaint or
okay.
not.
And,
but clearly, okay. clearly an IGM should not be weighing in, or it's going to undermine people's feeling about the fairness of an election.
Okay. And Teresa, this is Minerva, just real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we're talking about here has to do with nominating. So mm-hmm. it's not, voting or the terminology that I used.
Okay.
Right now I'm starting to get tired just as everyone else. I've been up since about 4:30 mm-hmm. this morning, but we're mm-hmm. only talking about the nominating process that's taking place okay. right now. Okay?
Okay. Well, I'm just really surprised that the whole thing about the $5, to me, that looks like a poll tax. And stepping back and having the ultimate, powerful person at the station would be the general manager or the interim general manager. And for a candidate to be running and thinking, well, that, I mean, if there was a paucity, someone said earlier, there was such a paucity, you know, we can't blame the GM for weighing in because they want everybody to get on. Then they should nominate everybody if that was the issue.
Okay. So why don't we do this?
If I may say, there's been a back and forth with NES and she said he should nominate everybody. I was looking for it, can't find it, but she advised that Michael Novick nominate everybody. So I couldn't find it, but that's in already in conversation.
Aki, there's a statement in the chat that separates the management from the staff. Again, I don't want to weigh in one way or the other. I think what Susan just said makes a lot more sense to me than everything else that's being said. If you're going to endorse anybody, endorse everybody. And it smacks of electioneering on the side of the people that have the most power at the station. And those are just my personal opinions about this. And
right. Okay. Very good. All right. Yeah. What a mess.
May I be recognized, Aki?
Well, we're going to close this pretty soon. But go ahead,
I have had my hand up for a while.
Okay. So, Brandy, we're going to close this because we're not going to be able to. It's obviously a vital issue. So people have to look into the bio and define all of that. Go ahead, Maida. Why don't you speak?
Listen, we've been back and forth and I just wanted to be clear. Susan suggested something and I don't know that you heard her, Aki, but in terms of rescheduling or changing the time of the next election forum, it's not just concerning KPFA. I believe Susan clarified and said we have to be mindful of the various meetings because the KPFK local station board meets on the third Sunday of the month. So we don't want her to avoid KPFA local station board meeting by being in conflict with the KPFK board.
Yeah, she just had to be mindful of all of the meetings. Okay.
Right.
Go ahead. All right. Let me get the stack here and let's just close this up. I got four people, Vanessa, Teresa, Minerva, and Arama. Okay. And Susan. Okay. Okay, now Vanessa, Minerva, I don't know, and Susan. Okay, go ahead, Vanessa.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a legacy hand. Apology.
Okay. How about you, Minerva? All right. Let me go to Eleanor and Susan then.
And that's the same. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Eleanor and Susan.
Okay. The bylaws, Article 3, Section 1. Says radio station management employees and foundation staff employees who are not employed at a foundation radio station shall not qualify as staff members However, such employees may qualify as listener sponsor members by contributing the requisite minimum dollar amount as set forth in Section 1A of this article of these bylaws, which means that Michael Novick has the right to send in $25 and be a listener sponsor and to nominate listeners.
Right. Yeah. The only thing that bylaws says is as long as you're a listener member, whatever you are, you can nominate.
So it's the right to nominate who he wants to and not who he wants to. The other comment.
Well, he couldn't nominate staff, right?
No, he can't nominate staff.
Right.
Other comment that was made about a poll tax. There is no poll tax for paper ballots, merely a request to consider making a contribution to offset the increased cost.
Exactly. It's totally voluntary. All right, Susan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think there are two things that I think we still need to vote on, and one of them is the $5. There's been good conversation about it already, and it is put in the chat. And then following that, we have Eleanor Elizabeth about Spanish.
Okay, well, let's take up the $5 one. You want to make a motion and see where it goes?
I'd like to speak to that briefly.
The motion, I think, has already been made, and it's in the chat.
Right, and I'd like to speak to that motion about the $5.
Okay, go ahead, Myra.
I'm in complete agreement with what Jack DePalma said, that we don't want to do anything that would suppress the vote. And some people might feel that they, even though we're saying it's voluntary, and I think that it would be better if there were some kind of an announcement on the air saying to everybody that there are costs associated with this election, including costs of sending out ballots. And if you are in a position to defray the costs, please help us out. Mm-hmm. And we could talk about, but not to put the onus on the individual who may or may not be in the position to pay the $5 and make it just a broad appeal, instead of embarrassing or making people feel like, oh, I better not vote because I can't afford it. Even though I can get a ballot. It just seems that it's a better approach to just make a broad appeal.
Okay. All right. So is there a consensus here that this motion is unnecessary?
No.
I would like to speak to the motion.
Okay, go ahead.
Vanessa, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I agree 1,000% with what was just said. So is that person making an amendment to the motion that was previously made about asking the affected members and instead to make a broad appeal? Is that an amendment?
That person is Myla Reason, and thank you, Vanessa. And I'd be happy to offer an amendment to the motion.
I would support that amendment.
Okay. And Kel, what do you have to say?
I'm wanting to withdraw the motion at this point, and the reason I am, I'd like to ask that we get a budget, that we see some kind of budget for this election, because it's my understanding that there was some money allocated, and that Pacifica had some money, but I would expect that there are other large expenses for this election that have not been, I felt like when we were at the Q&A meeting, people were saying, oh, we want this, and we want this, and we want this, and we want this. And I didn't get the sense that people were actually aware of how very, very serious the financial state of Pacifica is right now. And
yeah, nobody does.
And so what I would request for this committee, in order for us to be making any kind of recommendations, and I was quite honestly making that recommendation out of my concern, because I know that those ballots cost over $5 because of the printing and everything, that, you know, we were going to get a lot of requests for paper ballots that are kind of like not needed, that are kind of like more frivolous. Well, I'd like a paper ballot. Who cares if it costs $5? You know, so it was those that I was attempting to address, but I understand the concern about not wanting a poll tax, or, you know, not wanting to, put people in an uncomfortable situation where they wouldn't want to vote or something. I really understand that. The issue that I have is I would like to see a budget for the election. And so my motion will be to request that the NES and or the executive director give us a budget for expected expenses and, you know, if, and where that money is, if there is money available for it, so we don't get to September and we don't have money to pay for the ballots going out at all.
Thanks. Chair, point of order, please.
Sure, go ahead.
The point of order is that I don't believe that a motion maker can retract a motion. The motion now belongs to the body, and so it's up to the body to make that decision. So that, I don't know if what was just offered would be a substitute motion, but we do need to deal with the motion that's on the floor in some form or fashion.
Okay. All right. So basic motion we have is the basic Midas motion to broader request for money, right, for the election?
Right. No, may I say that it just occurred to me that something else that we can do is when we send out both the paper ballots and the electronic ballots that we used to with the paper ballots, there always used to be something included that allowed people to or encouraged people to help defray the cost of the election. This can also be included with the electronic ballot. So with the electronic ballot, there should be some statement about the cost of the election and provide a link where people can also contribute that way when they vote, if they choose to. Again, something, you know, just to help defray the costs. So this can be kind of two-pronged. I think we really do have to help raise money to cover the cost of this election. And this can be done by having statements go out over the air appealing for money to defray the costs. And there needs to be a special place where that money it's earmarked. When people donate to defray the costs of the election, that donation needs to be earmarked for that specific purpose.
Mr. Chair, I'm the secretary. I have no idea what's happening with the motions right now. Okay. Having arduous motion making and all of that thing. Yeah. Can't we have some general discussion and kind of come to an idea?
Yeah. Well, what we'll do is that since the balloting is not going to begin till August 15th, and this is all talking about what's going to go in the ballot and all that, I think we should just postpone this discussion, because obviously the discussion is very, very wide. People have out of, you know, different ideas about it. So let's just simply sit on this until the next meeting, because otherwise this can go on without any resolution.
Chair, point of order, please. I'll say that...
There won't be any motion regarding, because time-wise, it's not that critical. So anyway, that's...
Chair, point of order.
Yeah, go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, so in terms of process, the motion has been made, I guess in committee, it doesn't have to be seconded. But so are you making a motion to postpone? We can't.
Yeah.
None of us can just say we're not going to do it.
Okay, we're not leaving it. We're just postponing because.
Okay, but the body needs to vote on that. Someone needs to make a motion to postpone and the body needs to vote.
I make a motion to postpone.
I second it. Myla seconds it. Susan,
okay. Any objection to postponing to the next meeting? Okay. So there's, so we'll go through this again because it's, you know, it is a critical issue of our financing. All right. Any other thing on the agenda today?
The Spanish language.
Oh, yeah. Leona. Okay. So what is the motion, Leona?
Point of order.
What's that, Cal?
Was that on the agenda?
No, it was brought up as part of the,
it was a subsection of something that was on the agenda. So I'd like to.
Akima, may I make a statement?
Sure, go ahead.
This is out of order, but, first, the statement about the request for the voting method and cost and the like. I don't believe people are really attuned to what it means to be part of a democratically run radio network. I tried to explain this to the people in the LSB and the people that I talked to in New York City, but I think a lot of people don't quite get democracy in America either. A lot of people don't vote. And a lot of people have lost track of what we're doing or why we're doing it.
Right.
And about this Spanish thing, I believe people that speak Spanish that sometimes might listen to Spanish radio or sometimes might listen to English radio in the United States in any of the various station locations, have already navigated all that stuff. We're trying to put it on a particular, plane. I would move to postpone that too. Because the idea that we're going to translate or have equal translation is absurd. It doesn't happen that you can equally translate a language to another language with a statement. It just doesn't work.
I second the motion to postpone.
Second.
Okay.
Move to adjourn.
All right. Okay.
But people have to finalize their statements by either the 6th or the 8th, so it can't be postponed to addressing this issue.
Okay, all right. So what is your motion, Elena?
My motion is that the NES be asked to consider that Spanish speakers should have access to the same amount of information as English speakers, even if it takes more palabras in Spanish than words in English.
Okay. So, Susan, could you take the vote, please?
Sure. And I'm going to need you to write that in the chat. All right. So, there's been an objection. So this is about Spanish equal time. Teresa, are you yes or no?
Well, it's providing more words for Spanish translation as I understand the motion. That because Spanish, because Eleanor's posture, if I might say this, Eleanor's argument is that it takes more words to communicate in Spanish than in English. Therefore, there should be more words should be allowed in the Spanish version of the statement than the English version.
Using the translation thing she's got. Okay, Teresa,
go ahead.
Yes?
Yeah.
Or no?
Teresa? Yeah, go ahead.
Teresa, unmute.
Does the candidate provide the Spanish statement or is the foundation responsible to provide the translation?
The candidate.
Okay.
The candidate.
Okay.
Alan abstains.
Okay.
Violetta.
I abstain.
Jack.
No.
No. Vanessa. Vanessa, you're muted.
Sorry, you're muted. Yes. Yeah, sorry. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Eleanor.
I'm for the motion.
Eric.
Yes.
Avelia.
Avelia is not a voting member of this committee. Oh, yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
I'm so sorry. Avelia. She's going to be mad at me.
Yeah. Avelia.
She's not. Oh, there. Avelia, will you forgive me? Unmute and forgive me.
She might be driving.
Yeah.
All right. Let me keep going. Lily. Lily, you're muted.
Oh, sorry. I must erase my hand by mistake. I'm sorry.
No. You're being asked to vote, Lily.
Sorry.
For Spanish or not for Spanish?
That's not the question, yes. Susan. Susan, it is not the question.
Understood, Myla. You are not the secretary. Mac, are you still on? Okay, I don't think so. Myla.
No.
Okay. Is Sean Rhodes still on?
Sean is still on, and Sean Rhodes votes yes.
Okay. Minerva, are you still on?
I'm still on, and I'm going to abstain.
Abstain. Okay. Aki.
I'm voting no.
No. Okay. Carol.
No. Okay. Because never mind. Sorry. No.
Please. Can we get through a vote?
All right, sorry.
Susan, no. Okay, so we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Go back
yeses.
To the people you missed.
Who did I miss?
Avelia was one.
Yes. Thank you. Avelia? Matt? Okay, so yes is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and abstentions. So we have a split vote. It's a 5-5.
It failed.
Okie dokie.
No. I'm so sorry. Point of order. It was a split vote. But the,
has the chair voted?
The chair voted no.
Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. My apologies.
Okie dokie.
Move to adjourn.
Who was that? Carol?
Yes.
Good night.
I second to adjourn.
Okay. Thank you, people.
Okay.
Thank
no objection.
Good meeting.
Good night.
Good meeting. Bye-bye.